Turn, please, in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3, in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1214. We'll read just one verse from this chapter. We'll turn to yet another passage. We'll read the ninth verse altogether. And shall we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word? So join me on the ninth verse of the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. Ready? For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, page 1234. We'll read verses 14 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14. We'll read the verses responsively. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Let's finish together on the last verse. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And let's pray.
If you open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and leave them open there loosely in your lap, please. I'm going to ask you to read with me in a few minutes. I want to speak tonight on the subject Jesus and Son Incorporated. Jesus and Son Incorporated. My text is 1 Corinthians 3:9, where we are laborers together with God. That scripture was impressed upon my mind as a preacher boy. In East Texas Baptist College. I preached a sermon on it one time, just taking one verse at a time. For we are laborers together with God. We, people such as you and I, common people, people who are covered with flesh, we're made of dust, weak and frail. We are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. Not cannot, shall be, but we are now laborers together with God. We are laborers. We're supposed to work. We're not fellowshippers only. We're laborers. And then the word together. We're laborers together. God and us in a yoke, pulling the same yoke, doing the same work. We're together with God. And then we're laborers together with God. What an honor. And what a privilege. Now, that's our text tonight. And I want to speak from that. We're laborers together with God on the subject, Jesus and Son Incorporated. We'll come after a while to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, so just hold it there, and we'll get there in a few minutes. Two young adults have said the same thing to me in recent weeks, and I would never divulge who they are, and you have no idea who they are. But two young adults who had made a wreck of their lives and had really gotten in serious trouble. They said to me, Brother Hiles, for the first time in my life, I'm listening to your preaching. They said, we grew up in this church. They're not together. One said one day and one said another. They said, we grew up in this church. We never heard you preach. We sat in the auditorium. We never heard you preach. And said, for the first time, in our lives, we're hearing what you have to say, and we're enjoying the services. I didn't say it to them, but if they'd listened while they were teenagers, they wouldn't have gotten in the trouble. You see, that's one reason why I say get your teenagers to listen. Don't let your teenagers sit way back in the corner somewhere and spit and whittle and talk and cut up all during the service. Get them where they can hear. You got to set them down beside you and give them a test when they get home. Get them where they can hear. But you say they'll rebel. They'll come a lot less near rebelling with the Word of God than they will without the Word of God. And he said, you cram it down their throats when they get... Oh, shut up. But That's the silliest thing I ever heard of. My Bible says train up a child. Listen, first, a teenager needs to know what the preacher says. And so do adults. And so tonight, I want to talk to you. I want everybody to listen to me because that's why I'm up here. I'm not up here just to look pretty. That too, but that's not the only reason that I'm up here. That would be enough reason, of course, but that's not the only reason. We in the past have studied several relationships that are available between us and God. God's creatures, the human race, and our God. There are several relationships that we have studied in the past. For example, in our evening Bible studies on Wednesday evening in the past, we have mentioned that there is a relationship, the first relationship that man has with his God is the creator-creature relationship. In other words, God created us, and even though we're not saved, nevertheless, He is our creator, and we are His creatures. Now, that's the first relationship that man can have with his God, and he has it of necessity, has no choice in this matter. Now, there's a second relationship available to mankind as far as his relationship with his God is concerned. And that's the God and people relationship. The God and people relationship. Now, that relationship takes place at salvation. When you become a Christian, when you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ and accept His gift as your substitute for your payment for sin, God writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and He becomes your God, and you become one of His people. Now, I'm not talking tonight about standings and positions. I'm talking about a relationship as to God and man. Now, there's a third relationship, and I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 for that. Now, look at verse number 14. Everybody looking, please. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now, what God is saying is this. God's people shouldn't make close associations with infidels. God's people shouldn't make close association with the unsaved people. Nice to them? Yes. Courteous? Yes. But Belial. Now, look in verse number 16. For and what agreement hath the temple of God, that's the body of the believer, with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. That proves what I just said. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now there, look at me, there is the God-people relationship. When you were born, God was your creator, and you were His creature. When you were born again, He became your God, and you became one of His people. Now look in verse 17, and see what's available to those who are God's people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now look at me for a minute. We have these three relationships so far. We have the relationship of the creature, or creator, and creature. When a person is born, God is his creator, and the person is his creature. Now then, there is a relationship that can come out of that. When a person realizes that he's a sinner and lost in his sins and condemned to eternity without God and realizes that God became flesh, born of a virgin, lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross as our substitute and paid the penalty for our sins, suffering our hell and paying the penalty for us and rose again after 3 days and three nights for our justification, then that person believing that and trusting that for his salvation becomes God becomes his God, and he becomes one of God's people. So then, by trusting Christ and being born again, you can enlarge your relationship with God from creator-creature to God and people. But according to this passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, there is another relationship that can come out of that one.
And that is a father-child relationship. God said in this passage, He said, I'm your God, and you're my people. But now you say, if you'll come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, quit your drinking, quit your cussing, quit running the wrong crowd, quit your rock. Let's just put it down where everybody can reach it now. Put the jelly on the bottom shelf. Quit your cussing, quit your drinking, quit your watching your dirty television programs, and quit your dancing, and quit your rock music, and quit your smoking cigarettes, and quit your dope, and run with the right crowd, and get out of the heathen crowd, and run with God's people, and come to church on Sunday morning, and come to church on Sunday night, and come to church on Wednesday night, and run with the right crowd. God said, to those who are my creatures, I will make you my people if you'll trust me as your Savior. Then he comes and says, to those of you who are my people, I will make you my children if you'll be separate from the world. So, from the creator-creature relationship, there is made available to all men the God-people relationship. That means you're saved. Then from that relationship, there's made available to all of them the father and son or father and child relationship, and that is made available by separation. So, the creator-creature is at birth, and the God-people is at salvation, and the father-child relationship is at separation. Now, everybody in this room tonight who's saved is somewhere in these lists or in these relationships. I'll get to two more in a minute. Now then, where are you tonight? Have you been saved? Is your name written in heaven? Are you sitting here tonight not saved? You've never put your faith in Jesus Christ? You don't know if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? Then I say a word to you briefly in beginning. And that is it. You may enter into a new relationship by receiving Christ as your personal Savior. Then you add to this creator-creature relationship the God-people relationship. Now may I talk for a while to those of you who are saved, and that's all. I mean, you got beer in your ice box and cigarettes in your purse or your pocket, and you stay home on Wednesday night and watch some filthy television programs and don't come to church. And you go to your rock and roll rock concerts and play your rock music. Oh, you trusted Christ as your Savior. He's your God. You're one of His people. But there is a relationship that God offers to you if you'll come out from among them. Now hold it. He didn't say come out mostly from among them. He said touch not. Touch it not. Don't touch it. He didn't say, quit being a drunkard, but still sip your martini. He said, don't touch it. He didn't say, don't be a chain smoker, but it's okay to smoke. He said, don't touch it. He said, he didn't say, quit most of your rock, your acid rock and hard rock, but keep your salt. He said, don't touch it. Now, if you will come to that place in your life where you will say, I was a creature, He was my creator, I was His creature, I trusted Christ as my Savior, He became my God, I became one of His people. Then you come to the place where you separate yourself and live a clean, holy life, and then you become a child of God. Now let's make it very plain. This Christianity that we have nowadays, that Hollywood movie stars can tell what Jesus means to them and strip half naked or 9/10 naked and have these and be a movie star. Now, they may be people of God, but bless God, they can't call God their Father. You know, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, did you know He said for one time, the only time in His earthly life, He said, my God, my God. He never called God His God. He was always His Father. He said, as you pray, pray, our Father which art in heaven. He said, Holy Father, keep those that Thou hast given me. He said, Holy Father, and He said, I and my Father are one. Then, all of a sudden, in the middle statement of Calvary, He says, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Now, why did He say that? Because He couldn't call God His Father. Now, why couldn't He call God His Father? Because He was separated from God because He bore your sin and my sin on the cross. And when He bore your sin and my sin, He was not separated because he became sin for us. He could not call God his Father, and he could not have that relationship with God as a father and son ought to have. Why? Because God looked down and saw him as sin, because he was bearing your sin and mine. Now, bless your little pea-picking heart. God is not going to let you be his, act as his child and treat you like a dad treats a child if he wouldn't treat his own son that way when his own son was on Calvary becoming sin for you and me. Now, let me go back. Everybody by creation has a relationship with God, creator, creature. There is offered to that crowd another relationship when you trust Christ as Savior, and that is God and people. And to those who are saved, he offers you a third relationship, and that is father and child. Now, the creator creature comes at birth. The God and people comes at salvation. And the father and child relationship comes at separation. Now, there is yet a fourth one that comes from that. Are you listening? From the creature, creator creature, there comes the opportunity for God people. Are you listening? From the God people, there comes the opportunity of being separate from the world and becoming father. By the way, that crowd that had the father-son relationship, they're not looking for what's wrong with something. Not at all. If there's a doubt about it, they don't do it. They don't say, well, I don't see anything wrong with mixed bathing. If anybody sees anything wrong with it, say for a Christian, they don't do it because won't let it say. They're not looking for how much they can do and still be separate. They're looking for how many things they can give up for God. And anything that's the least bit cloudy, they don't do it. Why? Because they want to be children of God and God to treat them like he'll treat a child. Now, listen carefully. There is yet another relationship available for those who have the father-son. And you can't bypass any of these. You can't get the father-son relationship till you've got the creator, the God-people relationship. You take them one at a time. From the creator-creature comes the opportunity to be God and people at salvation. From God and people comes the opportunity to be father-child at separation. And then those who are separated, God gives to you an opportunity to have another relationship, and that is the friend-friend relationship. He said in John chapter 15 and verse 14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I've commanded you. Now, what did he command us? He commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So if you, who are his creatures, will trust him, you will be his people. You who are his people will separate from the world. You will be his child. You who are his children, who will go soul winning, can be his friend. Isn't that good? Boy, I like that. That means I can be God's friend. Jesus said, if you do whatsoever I command you, ye shall be my friends. So, we have these four relationships that man can have with his God. You sit there in your sin tonight and say, I'll not trust the Savior. I'll not do it. You're not going to talk me into walking that aisle and getting saved. And you can sit there and die in your sins and go to hell and burn forever if you want to. It's your stupid choice. But you're a fool if you do it. A fool has said in his heart, there's no God. You can sit there if you want to till hell freezes over, and it never will. And until you receive by an act of the will Jesus as your Savior, you will sit there as a creature of God, but you'll never become a person of God until you receive Christ. Now, you can sit there as a Christian if you want to and just sit there and barely be inside the gates of glory and just get there with the skin of your teeth or so as by fire if you want to, but that doesn't impress me at all. And I'm not just going to barely get to heaven. Brother, I want to have a relationship on this earth as a father would have to a child. You know, I used to worry about these formal churches on Sunday morning. They sing the Gloria Patri, and they sing, the Lord is in his holy temple, the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before or him. Amen. And they don't talk about Jesus. They talk about the great God of the universe, and thou the great God of gods, and God of lords, and God of gods. I used to say they shouldn't do that, but I've come to a place to where I think they ought to do it. With the lives they live, they have not yet gotten the right to call him their father and their papa. And so these formal churches, let them go ahead and have their high church ritual. It's all they can have. Let them have it. But bless God, you show me a Christian who will say, all to Jesus I surrender. And you show me a Christian who will say, Jesus, I and my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. I'll show you a child of God. I'll show you a person who was one of God's people who now has a relationship where God treats him as his own little children. And you can call him, as Paul says in 8th chapter of Romans, your Abba Father or your Daddy Father or your Papa Father. And then from that relationship, if you'll go soul winning, you can sing, what a friend I have in Jesus. Because you are his friend. Now, there are folks tonight in this room who are saved, but you're not his friend. Boy, I'd be ashamed. I really would. I'd be ashamed to be saved by the blood of Calvary and be the recipient of God's great gift of eternal life and the gift of God's Son on the cross. I'd be ashamed and not be his friend. But you decide I'm going to get in the soul winning business, and God makes you his friend. Now, tonight, I would like to introduce you to another relationship. And the relationship which I want to call your attention tonight is one that is a bit deeper. This is a graduate course. This is for those tonight who are already his friends. I'm talking tonight basically to soul winners. I'm not talking tonight basically to those who are worldly. You're saved, but you're worldly. I'm not talking basically tonight to those who are God, who have the father-son relationship, but you're not a friend. I'm talking to those of you tonight who are his friends. And I want to open up another era that you can have with God as far as relationship is concerned. And that relationship is, and I love it, the partner relationship. The partnership. Jesus and Son Incorporated. The partner. The partner. He said, Paul said, we are laborers together with God. You know what that means? It means, paraphrase it, synonyms, we are equal partners with God. Paul's talking about himself. He said, God and I are partners. Now, you hear me? Look at me. Where are you tonight? Where are you? Unsaved? Creator creature? Where are you? Saved? God people? Where are you? Creature and people? But you've come clean from the world, separated, then you're a child of God, relationship-wise. Where are you? Have you gone beyond that and become a soul winner, and now you're his friend? Where are you? Have you gone beyond that and become his partner? We are laborers together, or we form an equal partnership with God. God is willing to take his children in business with him in an equal partnership. But he, like any partner, has some conditions. Now, here. If you are not a partner tonight with him, then you are working for him when you go soul winning. But there is a way where you can become a partner and you can work with him. Tonight, I'd like to talk to all of you. Listen now. Listen. All of you who are working for him as a friend and show you how you can work with him as a partner. Now, there are three things you've got to do. Number one, you've got to have equal investment. Equal investment. Now, listen to me. You businessmen tonight, if somebody came to you and he were worth $100,000 and you were the $100,000, your net value, $100,000, his net value, $100,000. He said, I want us to go into partners. 50% for you, 50% for me. And you said, okay, how much you want to invest? He said, okay, you invest your $100,000 and I'll invest $1,000. And we'll be equal partners. Would you do that? How many of you would like a deal like that? If you would, I've got some land like to sell you in Arizona after the service is over. Now you listen to me. Nobody in his right mind would enter into an equal partnership unless the other person in the business equally invested in the business. Now you listen. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying if you are going to become a partner with God where it can be Jesus and Son Incorporated, where you and Jesus are partners, you're going to have to give the same investment He gives. Well, you say, how could that be? Brother Hiles, he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and I got one old sheepdog. That's all I got. I mean, he owns all the silver and the gold, and I got one 1995 Timex watch. I mean, Brother Hiles, he owns the rocks and the reels. All I got is a stopped-up basement. How can I? Here's how it is. Jesus comes tonight, and He says to everybody in this room who is His friend, He says to you, I'd like to offer you partnership. Now, you've got to give as much as I give. Okay, Jesus, how much did you give? I gave my all. I gave my all. Now, He doesn't say you give as much gold as I have, as I give. You don't have as much as He has. He doesn't say you give as much wisdom as I have. He doesn't have that kind of wisdom. You haven't got that kind of wisdom. He doesn't say you give as much knowledge as I have. You don't have that kind of knowledge. So Jesus said, I'd like to come to you and offer you a partnership in my firm. So it'd be Jesus and Son Incorporated. And He said, you've got to invest as much as I invest. And He said, that means I gave my all. Now you give your all. Now you listen to me. You listen to me. I'm not talking tonight about frivolous Christianity. I'm not talking about the froth tonight. I'm talking about if you want to go all the way. I'm talking about if you really mean business. If you would like to be a partner with Jesus, you've got to invest as much as He invests. His resources are at my disposal. That's His investment. Now, if I'm His partner, my resources have to be at His disposal. What a deal. He gives all of His power, and I give all of mine. Boy, I know a good deal when I see it. He gives all of His power, I give all of mine. We're equal partners. You don't miss this opportunity. He gives all of His wisdom, I give all of mine. We're equal partners. He gives all of His protection, I give all of mine. Dear Jesus, I'll protect you. He says, Hiles, okay, you protect me, I'll protect you. Boy, I know a deal when I see it. Don't miss this one. He says, I'll give you my knowledge, my power, my wisdom, my love, my protection, my all. Now He said, you give me all your wisdom, all your love, all your knowledge, all of your life. Brother, my life is for 70 years, that's all. 4 is 3 score and 10, or a few more. His life is for eternity. And He says, I would invest eternity. You bring your little 70 years, we'll be equal partners. Paul could say, we are laborers together with God. Suppose tonight that the Hunt family came. One of you businessmen. Who's in business here? Quickly, who has a business? What kind of business you in? Mechanics. Let's suppose that Mr. Lamar Hunt, heir of all the Hunt, billions of dollars. I mean, they got more silver than Glenn Lively has. Let's suppose that Mr. Hunt came to you, and what's your first name? Ron? And you got a call from Lamar Hunt and said, Ron, this Lamar. You said, sure, old Lamar Hunt. Nice to hear you, Lemmy. And you would say, what do you want? He said, look, I want us to go in partnership. 50-50. I'll give you my billions, you give me your tens, and we'll be equal partners. And all that, we will share the profits equally. You don't look real intelligent, but I bet you're smart enough. Well, you'd take him up on it, wouldn't you? You'd say, Mr. Hunt, he'd say, I got billions of dollars. How much you got? Well, I got $143.96. Mr. Hunt says, you give it all? If you give it all, I'll give all I got. I'll put my billions, you put your hundreds, and we'll be partners together, and we'll be heirs together, and we will be equal recipients of all the dividends. Blessed be God. Take him up, fella. Take him up, Ron. And if the God who made Lamar Hunt and the God who owns all the gold and the silver, comes to me and says, Hiles, old boy, you give me what power you got, I'll give you what power I got. You give me your wisdom, I'll give you mine. You give me your knowledge, I'll give you mine. You give me your life, I'll give you mine. Brother, and he says, we'll be equal partners, joint heirs together of the goodness and grace of God Almighty. Partners. Partners. People say often, Brother Hiles, you give up so much for Jesus. That's like me saying, Ron, you gave up so much for the Hunts. No, you didn't either. Brother, when you decide you're going to match the proportionately what Jesus gave for you, it becomes Jesus and Son Incorporated, and you become a partner with God. And tonight, if you are His creature, become His person. If you are one of His people, become His child. If you are one of His children, become His friend. And if you're one of His friends, take Him up on this deal. He wants to be your partner. Secondly, in a partnership, not only is there equal investment, but there must be equal work. Equal work. That means that you're going to have to give it the same that the partner gives it. Okay, listen. Here we go. He ever liveth to make, finish it, intercession for us. What is He doing tonight? He ever liveth to make intercession for us. What does it mean? What does God do? God, or Christ do? He ever liveth to speak about me and my cause and represent me in heaven. Now He says, you give equal work. You spend your life representing me on earth like I spend my life representing you in heaven, and you and I'll be partners. Boy, I don't know how you can miss this one. To me, you ought to be up running down the aisle right now saying, let me in on this, boy. Let me in on this. I mean, He says, I can be equally wealthy. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the gold in every mine. He owns the rivers, the rocks and rills, the moon and stars that shine. Wonderful riches more than tongue can tell. He's my Father, so they're mine as well. But He won't let me have all the equal dividends with Him and equal profits with Him till I become an equal partner with Him. And I cannot become an equal partner with Him until I not only invest like He invests, but I work like He works. I cannot be at the right hand of God tonight. It's impossible. No way. When I'm accused by the devil, and I am, and so are you, the wicked one accuses me and you at the right hand of God the Father. Just like he accused Job before the Father. The devil walks up and says, you know John Colston, you know what a crook he is? You know Lively? You know what a shyster he is? You know old Ray Young? What a sinner he is? And Ray, you can't go up there and say, God, that's not true. I'm sincere. You can't do it. You don't have access physically to the right hand of God. And you can't, man, and you can't, Brother John. No way. But what I cannot do and where I cannot be, Jesus is pleading my case. He says, now if you will give equal time to pleading my case where I cannot be. Jesus said, I cannot walk down the hall of a hospital tomorrow and tell some poor dying person about salvation. He said, I cannot be there to lift up the fallen. I cannot be there to pass out tracts. I cannot be there to knock on doors. I cannot be there to give a cup of cold water. I cannot be there to visit the sick. I cannot be there to lift up the fallen. I cannot be there to comfort the bereaved. I cannot be there to cheer the sad. I cannot be there. Now He said, I am spending, I ever live to represent you at the right hand of God. He said, if you will ever live to represent me at the right hand of man, you and I can be partners. Boy, I don't know about you, but it's just not inside me to go halfway at anything. I never have understood that. Brother, I've often said, if I were a polecat or a skunk, I'd be the biggest stinker in Lake County, Indiana. I'd break the spraying record of the world. If I were a dog, I'd bite everybody I could find or bark loud than a dog ever barked. If I were a cat, I'd give the prettiest meow available. And if I were a bird, I'd invent new tunes to sing and sing tunes that birds never sung before. And bless God, if I'm going to be a child of God, have my name written down in heaven, I'm not going to sit down inside the door and just squat there and say, blessed be God, I'm going to go to heaven. Would you go to hell if you did this? Would you go to hell if you did this? Can't you be saved? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But there's more to being a child of God than just being saved. God wants you to have deep relationship with Him. God comes to you and says, okay, now that I'm your God, you're my people. He says, why don't you become my son? Let me be your father. And then he says, okay, now that we have a father-son relationship or father-child relationship, why don't you become a soul winner and be my friend? Let me be your friend. And then he comes and says, you've got a good thing going here. You pick up speed all the time. He said, won't just go ahead and invest it all and we'll be partners together. And won't you go ahead and work all and be partners? Folks say, why do you work so hard? Because we're partners. Why did you preach the other day when you could only whisper? And you might preach your voice away. We're partners. Why do you go day and night? He goes day and night. We're partners. I'm not just satisfied. Be one of His people and say, God, God, Holy Father, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord of hosts. And we come in the beauty of His holiness in the holy sanctuary and worship our great God. Not me. And then go out and live like the heathen live for 6 days. Not me. No way. But if He's got anything else, I want it. And he said, and I got saved, I got something else. He said, be separated and I'll treat you like a child. Then I got that. He said, if you go soul winning, I'll treat you like a friend. Then he says, now if you'll invest your all and if you'll work as hard as I work and you do what I cannot do on earth, I'll do what you cannot do in heaven. We'll be in partnership together. Thirdly, not only equal investment and equal work, but equal devotion. He says, you get interested and I'll get interested. Are you listening to me? God is no more interested tonight in a new relationship with you than you are. He said, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. Now you do the drawing nigh first. God said, we're going to be partners. Look. He said, first, He said, you fork over yours. And when I see yours on the line, I'll fork over mine. He hands out a little bucket and says, fork over yours. And I hand out a container that eternity couldn't hold. And he forks over his. Boy, you folks that don't want to be partners with him, you're sort of dumb. Something awful wrong with you. John 15:7, if you abide in me. Hear me now. You abide in me. That means live in me. Not visit me. Live in me. You abide in me, and my word abides you, not visit you. The word lives there. You live in me, my word lives in you. He said, then you ask what you will. We're partners. Ask what you want to ask. Here's a check. It's all signed. Write it out. We're partners. But He won't give you the signed check or power of attorney until you have abided in Him and His word is abiding in you. Then, Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law is meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted in the river waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What's God saying? God's saying, I'll bring you into business. It'll be Jesus and Son incorporated. But he said, you've got to first do those five things. You fork over, I'll fork over. You know, sometimes people that are partners with Jesus enjoy it so much, they lose patience with those that are not willing to be partners with Jesus, and they make partnership part of salvation. I know preachers get so fed up with this easy go, come easy, half in, half off, half on, half in, half out, half on, half off, milk and cider, weak-teed kind of Christianity. They get so fed up with it, they just decide that you're not saved if you don't give all. No, you're saved if you trust Christ. Watch out, you'll be preaching lordship salvation, which is as unscriptural as baptismal regeneration is.
But I'll be honest with you. It is a little hard for those of us who are in partnership with Jesus to wonder why you wouldn't want to be. That's awful hard. Us to understand that. Thirdly, as I said, equal devotion. Now the reason Paul could say 1 Corinthians 3:9, we are laborers together with God, is because he could say this. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung. He said they're garbage. They're the toilet. They're dung! He said, I could have had money, but that's dung compared to being a partner with God. Why, he said, I could have had then. I remember the Sanhedrin. I'd worked my way to the top place in my religion, but that's done compared to partnership with Christ. And Paul was saying, I gave up all this. What's he saying? I made my investment. And when I made my investment, God made his. Equal investment, equal work, equal devotion. Paul said, I had the best education offered to a Jew. But I gave it up. Why? So I could be an equal partner with God. Paul said, I was the height of my religion, but I gave it up. Why? To be an equal partner with God. I was of the choice, favored tribe of Israel, but I made an enemy, became an enemy and an offscouring to my people. Why? Be a partner with Christ. I was working toward the highest position of all. But I gave it up. Why? To be a partner, equal partner with Christ. I gave up my dreams, my comforts, the comforts of home. Slept in jails, prisons. No place to lay my head. Why did you do it, Paul? You could have had the finest tapestry on your walls, the loveliest drapes covering your windows, finest linens on your bed, finest carpet on your floor, finest chariot to transport you with the finest of the prancing horses. You could have had the finest dishes from which to eat, made of gold and silver. Paul, you could have been the leader of the religion and the top man. Paul, you were in the Sanhedrin, 70 top men in all the race. Why did you give it up? Paul said, I wanted to go in partnership. So I took it all and invested it. I'll say this and I'm through. I made a bargain with God one day. When I was 11 years of age, almost 1 month from 11, I got on my knees and I said, Jesus, I'll take you as my Savior. And I became one of His people. He became my God. And that settled it, brother. From that day till this, if I died any moment, I'd go to heaven. That settled it. One day I made another bargain with Him. I said, Jesus, to anything, habits, people I shouldn't run with, I'll not touch it. Jesus said, okay, I'd like to have you treat me like a daddy now. Then one day I said, Jesus, I think I'll be a soul winner and point folks to you. He said, okay, now you're my friend, and I'm your friend. And then one day I said, Jesus, you can have my school, where I went. They're ashamed of me because of my stand, but you can have that. You can have my home church. I was called and licensed and ordained to preach. Who wouldn't let me preach behind their pulpit tonight? You can have that. You can have it. You can have a classmates. Folks that are sat with in class. You can have them. You can have my preacher friends who think I ought to stick in a denomination that'll support liberal schools and whose seminaries don't even believe the Bible's the Word of God verbally. I said, dear God, you can have my classmates. You can have my ambition. And I said, dear God, in fact, you invest your all, I invest mine. You work day and night for me, I'll work day and night for you. You devote yourself to my cause, I devote myself to your cause. And you let me say this, and don't think I'm boasting, I'm not. I've got a lot of ground yet I haven't covered, and I'm not yet apprehended. But for these many years, in my case, I believe with all my heart, I've given all I know to give. That equals what he gave. I work day and night, he does. And I love to think tonight, he looks down to me and he says, my boy and I are in business together. Made a deal. He invested what he had. I invested what I had. And now, it's Jesus and Son Incorporated, our Heavenly Father. Bless the truths of this message. And I pray that tonight some will come from creature to people of God. And some will come from people of God to children of God. And some will come from children of God to friends of God. And some will come from friends of God to partners of God.